Last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales, a curated 5e Dungeons & Dragons adventure set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal campaign module by Wizards of the Coast.
Previously on Tavern Tales, they have meted out swift slumbering justice to the orcs residing in their ancestral home, and, after tying the remaining living ones up, begin to take a long rest.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So I won't end up being alone, 'cause I won't drink my drink alone. So what about you? One beer or two, I'll drink to you.
Dun, dun, dun. I'm going to white gem this shit because I got
Thank
some
you.
To spare.
Are so, you sure about that?
So, actually, that's not what happened, if I remember correctly.
What happened was, actually, that is not what happened. Not at all.
Okay, Chelsea's voice sounds weird. Why does Chelsea's voice sound weird?
I don't know. Because one of the patrons in the pub that this lady's telling the story to decided to interrupt.
Okay, do you remember the voice you did before?
Oh, the voice from way back when?
Yeah, because you're supposed to stay with the same voice as the same person listening to the story.
Oh, I didn't know this.
If I knew that, I would have been a bit better on that, but I wasn't. Oh dear. Okay. Well, I don't remember.
You can choose somebody new. That's fine. I prefer it to be, you know, consistent.
Okay, so that's not what happened.
Excuse me? Sorry, what?
That's not what happened.
Who are you? What happened? You saying something?
Yes. So, that's not what happened. Here you go. Thank you. Pass that over. What actually happened was, right before they went to go to bed, Oscar had a brilliant idea. He was like...
No, my dear. I'm sorry. I have to stop you there. There is only one instance in this story where Oscar has a brilliant idea.
You're right. It was Tessica. Tessica was like,
hey, Oscar, put the immovable rod in front of the door before
no,
we go
I
to bed.
No, I don't think that person can do that voice.
They're not that talented of an actor.
Yeah, right, that person right. has to speak in their own voice.
So Tessica told Oscar that he needed to put the immovable rod in front of the door before they went to bed.
Excellent. So yes. Oscar did that, pushed the button, and it hung in the air and cannot be moved.
Yep.
Well, I don't see as this... dramatically impacting the story. So, yes, of course. All right. That is what happened. Now, if I may.
Yeah, whatever.
That's all the only change you wished to add to the story?
No, not at all, actually.
Christ, you only have two more.
So what you're saying is that Oscar came and put the...
clicker.
Removable rod there.
Yeah.
It's not that the orc didn't come until the entire rest had finished in its entirety?
It was both of those things.
Oh, it was both of those things?
It's highway thievery.
For the listener, Chelsea just gave another white gem to the GM.
If it's both of those things, then of course, well, you may have your cake and eat it too.
Cake.
The morn dawned upon the stone hammers. As an orc voice called out, what is this sock doing upon this door? And it is my pleasure to have said that because the immovable rod was in the way, the orc, arriving home after a late night rest, trying to get into his own bunk, believed that two of the orcs were engaged with some sort of slave prisoner that had been hauled out from the prison. And so he returned to his sleeping furs and slept. Upon the morrow, the five dwarves found this sleeping, slumbering, soul orc, tied him up, and threw him in the room with the other two.
And left the sock on the door.
leaving the sock upon the door. Or taking the sock with them.
Hmm. Whose sock was it?
I'm assuming we stole it from like a bunk from one of the orcs.
Does Tessikar take the sock with him?
Yes.
Excellent. Add orc sock to your sheet. You've finished your long rest. Everything is recouped and recovered. You stealthily sneak your way down the hallway. Roll your stealth checks. That's what this means. If you scored higher than 15, please raise your hand. That is not half of the party. You are once again a bunch of lumbering idiots storming down the...
I may be telling a story about how to be sneaky.
I would love to hear that, but it's not me that hears it. It's in fact the individuals in the room at the end. So as you walk down the corridor, there is a turn to the left and stairs leading up. And there is a turn to the right. And you can see out of the corner of your eye a very large dwarf with an axe raised high. It's a large dwarf, though. It's at least 8 feet large. Axe raised high. You hear the sound of commotion of some sort in the room that is up the steps as you gaze upon the dwarf.
So I'm looking at this giant dwarf trying to figure out what it is.
Yes, you are looking right at an 8 foot tall dwarf with an axe raised high. It's caused you to startle and take a half step back. Roll a basic perception check.
Can I go investigate this dwarf?
You may do so, yes.
I got 13 on perception.
That's enough to have perceived that there is a giant dwarf with a axe raised. You're pretty sure it's not real, but you're not too sure exactly what it is or not. The more concerning thing, though, for the other three is the sound of movement up those steps, because it sounds as though more than one or two living creatures. Now, as you move to investigate the dwarf, I need you to make that perception check, Melusine.
I'm not very good.
Oh, are you rolling with advantage?
Is it one of these?
It's a blue gem.
Right. Okay. Just a suggestion.
No, I got a lot of them. I just keep on forgetting. Duh. That's a 19 plus one.
So a 20?
Yes.
Clearly, you make out without any difficulty at all the features that are renowned to you of Numic the Unlucky, who happens to be...
my progenitor.
Exactly. You're very acquainted with the features of your grandfather, Numic the Unlucky. However, tales have been told of the weapons that Numic carried in his hand, because Numic the Unlucky was not a feller of fell trees. He was, in fact, a...
Flamenco dancer.
In his part time, because he was never good enough to go professional. Instead, as you gaze upon the statue of Numic the Unlucky, with axe raised high, you note that he was a renowned...
cross-stitcher.
Which he was never good enough either. People came from far and wide to watch him fail again and again at cross-stitch, because Numic the Unlucky was...
a butcher.
Of horrible puns. He would try his best, but he was never good enough at it. The only real thing, two things that Numic the Unlucky was good at was...
lovemaking.
That's granted, but every dwarf always admits to being a great lovemaker. Numic was well known as the unlucky for one reason and one reason alone, and it was...
I honestly don't remember if you're trying to make me remember.
And it was...
Okay, am I just making shit up?
You definitely don't know what he's good at.
Okay, he was really, really good at...
You're a bard, can you make a history check?
Sure. Five.
You have rolled a five.
Yes.
That's total. He is your grandfather. You have definitely heard stories. Five is more than enough for you to know that he was a renowned masoner and creator of statues, specifically of himself.
Oh.
And he was also very good at making traps, because that is why he is called Numic the Unlucky. It is not because he fell to his demise in a horrible, particularly bad way, earning that title. No, he is Numic the Unlucky because he was always making way too good a trap, and he always caught other people in them.
Everyone.
Eldith proceeds towards the statue to investigate it.
Stop.
What's
she
wrong?
Has performed the spell of stop.
Stop.
What's wrong?
That's Numic the Unlucky.
And?
He was really good at making statues and doing traps. It's probably trapped.
Make a quick history check, the rest of you.
10.
Oh, that's fine. It's good.
13.
14.
16.
All of you know who Numic the Unlucky is, the renowned statue builder. Varying degrees of knowledge going up from the 10, but not worthwhile to really delineate and get into. You know that there is a trap here, because the only statues of Numic the Unlucky that aren't traps are statues of Numic the Unlucky with a hammer upraised, because that was in fact his tool of choice, not the axe. Noting that, you can immediately check for traps if you would like.
Yep.
Since you now know for a fact the statue of Numic the Unlucky is carrying the wrong weapon.
How do we check for traps?
It's just an investigation check.
Okay.
Exactly what you were doing before. Okay. But now, whenever you're doing an investigation, it is always with purpose. I am looking in this room for a key. That's an investigation check. If you are looking in this room for something interesting, that's a perception check. How did we do? Did anybody beat a 16?
I got a 16.
Then you have succeeded at detecting the trap. There is a pressure plate that releases a toxic poisonous gas into the area or whoever steps upon the pressure plate.
Is it like, don't step on the wrong letter in Indiana Jones?
Everyone knows, after you tell people about this, that the engraving in Dwarven that you could barely make out because you wouldn't have been able to detect otherwise has quote unquote, haha, I farted in Dwarven.
Oh, Grandpa.
Exactly. Great uncle. Great uncle.
Oh, yeah,
Numic.
For me, yeah.
But that did not stop the sounds and of movement from up the stairs.
We should lure them down here on so that they step on the pressure plate.
That would be difficult because you have gone down in an alternative corridor and it's only five. It's in like in the middle of the corridor. You can't really get around it too easily unless you're like slowing your movement considerably. The stairs are up a ways considerably too. So 10 feet of stairs to go up into another area of the redoubt.
Is there any exits in this room?
Oh, yes. You look down this corridor. And it is very short and it ends with a whole big pile of refuse behind the statue. Actually, sorry, no. The statue is at the end and the pressure plate is 10 feet or so in front of it at a juncture that is to the left. So if you're turning to head north, there's the statue. 10 feet in front of it is the pressure plate. And the pressure plate is right in front of a door on the western wall.
And if we move slowly and stealthily, are we able to get past the pressure point through that door?
Yeah, you can definitely move around it to the door if you'd like. What would you like to do? So now there is a door that you can go in that is slightly open. You can go give a listen there if you'd like to, or you can go and check to see what was moving around up those stairs.
I'm not a fan of doors.
But you have a sock.
And we just won't send you first.
Yeah, do you want to go check out that door, Oscar?
Send Priscilla.
I'll go. I'll go.
Sure. So Priscilla flies over there stealthily, sticks her snout into the door, and has a quick peek. Roll a perception check.
16 on the dice.
Priscilla flies back and says there is at least all of her legs in the room.
I have a lot of legs. There's a lot of things in there.
There are walking around creatures that had captured her before, orcs. There is one for each leg and her tail.
Yeah.
Oh, so those are in the room behind the pressure plate?
Yes.
Did they see her?
Not that you can tell.
I'm the stealthiest of pigs.
Okay, Priscilla, well done. Now back to sleep.
So you have three choices ahead of you. There is still that way, way far away southern trail to follow. This door and the stairs up. What would you like to do?
Should we check out the southern side?
Yeah.
That's far away.
Stairs.
I don't want to do the stairs.
Just
That's where the commotion is.
Fuck stairs.
Five orc combat heading west towards the entrance of the readout. You're far north of where those doors were before. And up those stairs seems to be where the conference with the great Ulfi was.
Oh, and we're trying to go down, aren't we? Not necessarily up. So I think up is the way we don't want to go.
I think so. We're supposed to descend.
We want to go descend the stone tooth.
I mean, how many times do we get a chance to see where the great conference was?
Such a tourist.
Like when you go to a museum, you have to go see the Mona Lisa, even though it's kind of a pain in the ass.
One of you happens to steal a glance up the stairs far enough, and you can actually make out with your dwarven dark vision a short flight of stairs leading up to a large iron-bound door. A fresh, blood-stained human skull is fixed to the center of the door by an iron spike.
Oh.
Ew.
You like spikes and javelins and such? Something for everybody up at that door.
Yeah, let's go up the stairs.
I feel like it's an omen saying don't go up the stairs.
I'm going to just check, even though I'm not very good at perceiving, investigating things, that, you know, Numic the Unlucky wouldn't have trapped the stairs, too. That's a 19.
Those are amazingly well-wrought dwarven stairs leading up to a beautiful iron door made by dwarves. Four dwarves.
Four dwarves!
Like the number. It was like four dwarves made that door.
I think Numic made these stairs.
I just freeze.
No, like in a good way. Yeah. Like in a non farty way.
That's a good choice though.
So I'm making a day.
No.
Okay.
Keep going up the stairs.
All right. What's Elda doing?
I think she's behind the group a little bit.
Okay. Pulling up the rear. What's your armor class?
16.
Does anybody else have a shield? Better armor class than Eldeth?
And if I hold my shield in front of me, it's 18.
Exactly. It is always best for you to be in the front because you have 18 armor class. You're better than everybody else.
Okay, I'll be in the front.
Eldeth, you're in the lead. Followed by?
I will follow behind.
That is perfect because you need to be right next to her to stabby stab, be stabby stab. Then the three of you trail up the bottom. The door is closed. Now you know that combat lies on the other side of this door. And whatever is on the other side of this door knows that combat is waiting as well. You throw the door open. Before you can even behold what you see, does Eldeth have some sort of massive, awesome thing set in her mind?
I feel like Eldeth, being Eldeth, would just say, "I'm sorry, we have no choice."
Like in orcish or something?
Yeah. So that they understand her.
You may have a white gem.
All the white gem.
Woohoo!
I get two dogs.
Doggy. My dog had a baby.
Beyond this door lies a small chamber covered in poorly cured animal hides and illuminated by smoking torches in bronze sconces. The smell is indescribable. But I'm going to get you all to describe it anyway. So how does an indescribable smell smell? Aaron, what's the first thing?
It's very dank.
Rotting eggs.
Skunk.
Rotted meat.
And it kind of smells like corn chips.
Well, yes, it is indescribable. Thank you for that.
That's a blue gem.
Then give her one.
Do you see how
I didn't
she
think
has?
It was good enough, but
I loved it.
It was great, yeah.
That corn chip smell.
Not that you needed more. But.
Indescribable smell. A monstrous creature, about 10 feet in height, steps forward, a massive axe in one hand. Two huge wolves strain chains held closely in its other hand, and it says, "You think to challenge the great Ulfi? Vak, Thrag, at them! I'll kill you all! You're food for dogs, fuckers!" And that is where we'll end the game session today.
Can I change something?
In the moment? What would you like to do?
No, like from way back.
By end of the game session.
When can I change it?
You're like, I have a white gem. I got to do it now.
I can do it.
You could do it back at the village when
you would
get
like
back there.
To like burst out in the middle of the story, just as she takes a brief pause, sipping tea from a porcelain cup. And the lady pauses and says, excuse me, what? What? I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry, I was drunk. I'm a little far behind. Before I fell asleep, because I passed out from drinking.
Yes, we were all aware of that.
And before I fell asleep.
Yes, you danced on the table.
No, you said something about a puppy.
But that was ages ago. Yeah. The story's moved on considerably since then.
Well, you're gonna have to catch me up. Because I don't know what happened. But you told it wrong. But then I fell asleep and I couldn't tell you. But the dog, the puppy dog, Roca, the Roca one.
Okay.
Didn't get abandoned. That's stupid.
Oh.
That's stupid.
So do tell me exactly what transpired with this dog.
The poor little doggy was left with Lucille at the jail with her little orky friend.
Ah.
It's a guard dog.
I don't quite see how this
no,
really
I like it.
Ties into the story, but... All right, well, thank you for that. You can go back to sleep now if you'd like.
Can someone catch me up on what happened?
She says, you can hear about it in post. And that's where we'll end it. Thanks.
Yes. There.
You saved your dog, finally.
Got my dog.
And now I have another excuse to go see Lucille. Done.
And I get an excuse to see my orc.
My orc buddy.
I have an excuse to go see
Fuck
Lucille.
Fuck you and the dog you rode in on.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales, a curated Dungeons & Dragons 5e game set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal adventure module by Wizards of the Coast. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. You can find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or at www.badbillyband.com or follow them on Twitter at Bad Billy Band. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or find us on Twitter at tavern_tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.